what's going on, everybody? I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and today we're going to talk about this weird incident where a mother went ballistic on the internet because her baby daddy or her son's father bought McDonald's for his own son but refused to buy McDonald's for the other kids. We're going to talk about this. There's a whole lot to unpack on this in terms of the structure of Black families, Black economics, and actually connecting it to the racial wealth gap, believe it or not. So get comfortable, buckle up a seatbelt. We're going to get started on DrBoyceTV.com right now.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to cosign for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV. Here we are.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent Black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I want to say hi to everybody. I see Kyrie's and Aubrey Smoke and Jackson. I see you and Ruth. And let me just jump in. And first of all, say this. First of all, welcome. It's so good to see everybody. And hello to everybody on Instagram. My Instagram is The Real Boyce Watkins. And now there's this this video that was sent to me that people asked me about. Now, some people believe it's real. Some people believe it's fake. Whether it's fake or not, it reflects a real issue. So I don't know if it's fake or real. I have no idea. I don't care. I just know that it is a real conversation. It started a real conversation. And basically, I'll just describe it, and then I'm actually going to show the video. Now, if you're on Instagram and you want to see the video, just hit the link in the bio and go to DrBoyceTV.com on YouTube and you can see it either way, or you could just listen. You can listen in and we could talk it through. But I really wanted to address it because it reflects so many. You have no idea how deep of a Black economic conversation there was that was happening between this mother and this father. You guys know that my background's in economics and finance and all that stuff, and I focus on Black wealth. And I look at this and I just saw a scenario where I said, okay, you know, now we understand a lot of the dynamics that are happening in terms of the community and why Black wealth isn't where it's supposed to be, why the trauma level is so high, why the relationships are so broken, which circles back to why the wealth is so low. And so to give you kind of a precursor to all of this, as we watch this video, which I'm going to pull it up in a second, just understand this. I'm going to give you a little factoid that you can carry into this conversation, because I told you guys, my goal is to elevate the conversation, not to get into the gossip of it all. But the lowest net worth in America, the poorest group in America is the single Black mother with children. Did y'all know that? The poorest group in America is a single Black mother with children. Right there with her is the single Black father with children. If you know anybody, how many of y'all know women that are single moms that are struggling? To the point literally where maybe they're even having sex with a guy they don't even like just to get the bills paid. Where maybe the mom's working 13 hours a day, so the kids don't have any supervision. So the kids out in the street, daughter getting molested, son's out here thugging, getting locked up left and right. How many of y'all know that? How many of y'all see that? I'm not making fun of you. If you're in that category, I'm not making fun of you at all. I promise you I'm not. But this is a real issue, and I want to draw your attention to it so that you can have that kind of awareness to understand. You can't build wealth in a situation like that. That's not an environment that breeds powernomics. That's an environment that breeds strugglenomics. You can't have powernomics if you're playing strugglenomics. You can't build wealth and financial security when you are in an environment that is laced with extreme financial and emotional and physical insecurity. Security and insecurity are not the same thing. So a lot of our people get in situations where we feel like we're just hustling backwards and we're on a treadmill trying to survive. And when you're in that situation, it's very, very hard for you to focus on the big stuff, right? So that's one of the reasons, that's one of the key reasons why Black wealth isn't just behind white wealth. Forget what white people are doing. It's also a key reason why Black wealth is going down. See, we can talk about slavery and oppression and white folks stole our money and all that. That's all real. That's why Black wealth is behind white wealth. But you have to go deeper to understand why Black wealth is not catching up on any level, why it's not moving forward. You got to talk about things like student loans. You got to talk about things like economic intelligence and economic culture. So when BET does the BET Awards and they're promoting every thug, ignorant, fool, buffoon they can find, and they're saying this is for the culture, this is for the culture, then what they're saying to you, these white people who own BET, BET is not a Black-owned company. Let's make sure we don't forget that. They're saying, we want you to stay ignorant, stupid, a day late and a dollar short, and be buffoons. And that is going to be your culture. That we want you to have a clownish, buffoonish, idiotic culture with no strategic planning whatsoever. So there's no way on this earth, you cannot find any group of people on this planet where a buffoonish, backward culture is being heavily promoted through mass media with billions of dollars, and those people are thriving. That is not a culture where you thrive. That's a culture where you don't survive. That's a culture where you drown. Okay. So with that being said, do me a favor, hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. First off, I want to ask everybody, just so I can know, yes or no. How many of you even heard about the video, saw the video? Again, I don't know if the video is real or not. Some people say it's real. Some say it's fake. It almost seems like it's got to be fake because it's just so like, holy crap. But at the same time, it seemed real to me because I've seen this shit in real life. I've seen it in real life. Okay. Anybody who's ever had a relationship that has gone bad knows what I'm talking about. You know, Kendrick Lamar, shout out to Kendrick Lamar. He did a great song on his last album reflecting the trauma that is thrust back and forth in a lot of Black relationships. And I love Kendrick Lamar's last album because Kendrick, I could tell, was using his platform as an opportunity to tell Black people something very basic, that we all need therapy. I don't know why y'all will scroll right past the therapist so you can get to the comedians or get to the girl with the big booty or get to the fake relationship guru who's telling you whatever you want to hear. But you need to stop and listen to some of these therapists. You got thousands of Black therapists that understand how deep that trauma goes and how that is literally messing up every single thing that you're trying to do, how that is literally messing up all your relationships. That literally explains why you've had 18 boyfriends in the last 5 years. That literally explains why you can't pick a woman and can't make a relationship work to save your life. That literally explains why you drink so much. That literally explains your sex addiction. That literally explains all the different unhealthy coping mechanisms you picked up just to survive. So what I'm just going to tell you all straight up, this is my public service announcement. If you haven't talked to a therapist, you need to talk to one. And I'm going to volunteer and say, I have been listening to my therapist for many, many years because I am not speaking to you as a perfect person. God is not through with me yet. I get triggered just like every other Black folk. I went through the same trauma you went through. I took the ACES trauma scale, ACES, adverse childhood experiences. And I took that test my wife got me to take because, you know, my wife's a therapist. And she literally said, your score is way up here. That's why you get triggered because you were a kid and people were mean to you. So I'm going to ask y'all a question. Let's start with this. Yes or no. Give me a yes or no. How many of you feel, and I'm getting to the video, I promise you, but I need to start, I need to take the conversation to the penthouse. I don't want it in the basement. I'm not getting into, well, I can't believe these baby mamas be, these Black women be doing this, and these Black men, they need to stop that. All that, that's not, you could go somewhere else if you want to hear somebody bashing Black women. Go somewhere else if you want to hear somebody bashing Black men. I'm not into all of that. I want to start in the penthouse. We're going to have a penthouse conversation on this. So how many of you feel that at some point when you were a kid, that somebody that the adults around you were mean to you or traumatized you or harmed you in some significant way? How many of you as a kid got abused at some point? How many of you as a kid feel like you got neglected? How many of you as a kid feel like a person who was supposed to be there for you wasn't there for you? How many of you as a kid had to see things that a child should never see? How many of you as a kid went through some shit where you're like, man, that was terrible. Like you literally get choked up when you start talking about it because it's so painful to even reflect on. Anybody, yes or no? If your answer is no, I'm so happy for you because you got the kind of childhood that I wish every Black child could get. You got the kind of childhood you're supposed to get. You're supposed to be safe. You're supposed to be protected. You're supposed to be loved. You're supposed to be nurtured. You're supposed to be guided. You're supposed to be encouraged. You're not supposed to get beat down like a damn runaway slave. But in many of our households, too many of our households, we got adults. Because they're not over their stuff, they create environments in front of children that are just despicable. Your kids don't need to see you arguing. And again, listen, I don't know if this video is real or not, but I'm gonna talk about it as if it's real because I've seen this happen in real life. Your kids should not see you arguing with your child's father over a bag of McDonald's. They should not have to watch that. You're supposed to take that argument outside. That's not a child's place to see adults fighting like children. That is very traumatic for these kids. And one of the things that I've just my little pet peeve is we get in these damn relationships. Everybody's talking about trying to go get some ass and having fun and what they want and what they demand. And I got to have this and got to have that. And ain't nobody thinking about the kids. Nobody thinks about the kids. You know, so I'm going to throw something out here. Maybe it sounds like a foreign concept. Maybe I'm being radical here. But how about we all at least start off the discussion by agreeing that in a relationship, the children should come first. The children matter more than you. Get over your damn self. How about, can we agree on that? Can we at least agree that the children, I mean, you had your chance to be a child. Now you're 28. Now you're 38. Let the kids get saved. Let the kids have fun. Let them have a childhood that isn't interrupted by your immature bullshit. How about that? Can we at least agree on that? You know, because I that's what I saw. When I saw that, when I watched the video, and I'm going to play it in a minute, but I wanted to kind of frame the discussion so we can make sure we're productive on this. I just saw something that was like, man, the kids are going to be traumatized by this. And if they see this on a regular basis, there is no way these kids are going to be able to grow up and really, truly have a normal life. Like, this is not what children are supposed to see. And this whole scenario was created by some people that can't control their sex organs. He didn't plan on any of this. And that was interesting. In the video, she says, well, you knew this when you had a baby with me. He's like, I didn't know this was going to happen. Well, I'm trying to figure out how people still don't understand where babies come from. I'm trying to figure that part out. I'm trying to figure out how people don't understand that when you lay down and sleep with somebody, there's a chance you could be raising a child together. I don't get that part, right? So let me hop in and I'm going to just play this video. If you could, hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins. This is DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent Black people. We're not interested in ignorance here. We're actually interested in intelligent conversation. So if you want to be more intelligent, you don't have to be intelligent, but you got to want to be more intelligent, then this is the place for you. If you want to be ignorant, then you should probably leave. All right, so let me pull this up. I'm going to pull this video up. Hopefully I can share the audio and not mess it up. So give me a second here. Let me see. And by the way, if you're on Instagram and you want to see the video, just see the video, you can go to Dr. Boyce TV. Just hit the link in the bio. Or you can just listen in. So I'm going to just play this video now. Let me see if I can share my audio here. Give me a yes in the chat if you can hear it when I start playing it so I can make sure it's coming through okay. Here we go.
Every f***ing day my baby daddy come here with one f***ing meal for my child. But I have three other kids. We have one kid together, but he only want to come and bring one thing to McDonald's. But what about my other kids? How come you can't feed my other kids McDonald's though? Like, that bogus as hell. Like, you're not gonna sit here and make my other kids feel left out, and you're only bringing one child something to eat. Look, there you go. And I bet you he only got one thing in there. I bet you he don't even. I'm finna expose him so people can see how he really is. It ain't more than enough food in that bag for everybody. What's up? Because I'm finna expose you. What? Because that don't look enough for all my kids. That don't look enough for all my kids. What is that? That's just one burger? One burger, one fry? Okay, what about my other kids?
What about your other kids?
Okay, but them your kids' siblings, though. Them your kids' siblings, though. My other kids finna be left out.
You didn't feed them?
You know I'm getting my food to the city.
Listen, this is my problem.
But if you're trying to help out, though, you're not helping out.
I'm trying to help out my son.
How are you helping yourself when you're only getting kids for food for just helping out the other kids, his siblings?
Listen, though.
He's not finna eat in front of all his other siblings and they're not eating on McDonald's.
Bring it to the car.
He's not finna eat that at all if you can't bring enough for everybody.
Telling me that I bring myself food, I gotta bring your kids food too now?
Yes.
You sound dumb.
How is that dumb? You sound dumb.
Where are they daddies at? Nobody told you to talk to mother. You have them other kids. They're your responsibility. They got my responsibility.
Okay, but if you're gonna bring one, you need to bring it for all. How do that shit look that I'm letting one child eat McDonald's and all the rest of the kids can't eat no fucking McDonald's? So you know I get food stamps on the 11th.
Three kids that ain't mine.
Yeah, they're his siblings. You knew what you was getting into when you had a
and you only come here with one fucking piece of food for one child.
The child that's mine, silly.
No, that's dumb that you can't feed the other kids. Don't feed nobody at all. Then he can't take that. He can't eat it.
Maybe if you had one or two, I can, like, you know, maybe. It's three extra kids.
Those are your kid siblings, though. Dumb.
So that's you gonna go with? That's the one you gonna
go with? Those are your kid siblings.
They might,
so don't. I didn't say you have to take care of them. You can bring them something to eat if you bring one something to eat.
I bring food every other day. What do you mean?
Exactly. But you don't ever bring food for the other ones. You know I get my food stamps on the 11th. Okay. But I'm saying we share the same kids as well.
Absolutely. So if you want to. You
thought
feel
the
way about eating, take him in the room and let
I'm not taking my kid
or
in the room.
Got into the car. He didn't even come right out to the car, even me.
No. You know what? Fine. Give it here.
Thank you.
Give it here. Give it here. Duh. He ain't eating this. Fuck you.
Why did you just do that?
Because you ain't bringing up for all the other kids. You stupid. Selfish is a. Like, you're dumb as hell. He not finna eat that. Dump.
Take care of anyway.
Dump. He not finna do it. If you can't do it for all, don't do it for none of them. Bye, stupid.
Oof. Okay. So, yeah, I'll tell you what. That was something else. You know, I see some people coming in and saying that they think the video's fake. It could be, and maybe it is. You know, and if it is, you know, provide a link or some proof that it is, and I'll go look into that. But here's the thing. I'm not really concerned about whether the video is fake or not. I mean, if it is fake, then they deserve an Oscar because that was some hella acting. And also, there was so much realism in that interaction, you know, that I've just seen it. I don't know how many of y'all have seen stuff like this before. How many of y'all have seen, like, ratchet parents arguing? Maybe you were in that situation because sometimes a bad relationship can make us go out of character, right? And that's one of the things I also learned is that if you want to not be out of character, you might not want to be in a relationship with somebody who's going to bring you out of character, you know, because that'll, you know, when the police show up or when the neighbors are gossiping about you and your family, they're not going to separate you. You know, if you argue with an idiot and you sound like an idiot arguing with an idiot, then people are not going to see an intelligent person and an idiot. They're going to see two idiots. Okay. They're not going to see an intelligent person, an idiot. They're going to see two idiots. So try your best to not be around people that escalate you to a point where you get out of character or you are pushed to go beyond a certain limit, especially for the men, because when the police get there, they're going to lock you up. Or if she goes and says, he punched me, even if it's not true, people are just going to believe it's true. They're just going to walk with that narrative and that's it. So the one thing that's interesting here is I want to ask y'all a question. Give me a yes or no in the chat. How many of you, if you were that kid, let's say you were the special one who had the one daddy that was showing up bringing McDonald's to the house and you got McDonald's and your other siblings got nothing. They're hungry. I mean, the mom is on food stamps, so there's no food around. How many of you would feel a little bit guilty about that? How many of you would feel awkward, guilty, feel bad? You know, it would hurt your feelings. You know, hey, give me a yes or no. And I ask that question because you know, I remember when my daughter was little and she had a brother and that was not my son, but I never felt comfortable doing things with her and leaving him behind because I knew that my daughter loved her brother. So here's a little factoid for anybody who doesn't understand this yet. If you truly love somebody, you're going to love what they love. You know, you're going to care about what they care about. You know, if you claim to love me and I say, hey, I really love my mama, but you come and you slap my mama and punch her in the face. Well, you can't love me because I love my mama. How the hell are you going to say you love me, but you disrespecting and you harming my mama? That don't make no sense. So if you love your child, this is just point one. If you love your child and your child loves their siblings, then you should show some concern for the siblings too, or at least enough concern about your child's feelings that you help to make sure you manage that scenario. Now, maybe some people don't get it. Maybe some people are too immature to understand that. I will tell you this. I believe that a lot of parenting is extremely, extremely selfish. I see parents on the internet bragging about, I do this for my son, I do that for my daughter, and da da da. And it's all about ego. Look at me. Look at what kind of parent I am. I'm dad of the year. I'm mom of the year. And I get all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's kind of weird to me that we don't put the children first. You know, you can't be pro-black and not care about black children, even children that are not yours, even kids that you didn't give birth to. Remember, black men, we are the protectors of the community. Those are the strong black men in the room. I'm talking about the weaker men. I'm talking about the strong black men of the community. We are the protectors of the community. And I can say this, and you ain't got to embrace what I say at all. You could walk away from it completely. But I always felt that if I am a pro-black man and a leader and a steward of the community, every black child that goes in, that comes into my territory, that child is going to be mine for the amount of time that they're there. It may not, I'm not talking about adopting the child or letting the child live in my house, but I mean, if you're in my space, if I'm getting lunch money for mine and there's three others around and they ain't got no lunch money, oh, I'm getting lunch for all the kids because I'm pro-black and I care about the children. You cannot be pro-black and not care about your children. You cannot be pro-black and not care about your women. You cannot be pro-black and not care about your men. If you are in any of those three categories, then you cannot define yourself as pro-black. You might as well go join the KKK because your raggedy ass is destroying your community and you ain't shit. Period. Second thing is, the mother is wrong, in my view, to try to legislate how this father chooses to be a dad. Now, I don't agree with what he was doing. I thought that what he was doing was a little short-sighted and a little immature. But I did not like the tone. First of all, the mother's tone was way too violent, ridiculous. I would just say to men, avoid women like that. You can see them. If you give somebody long enough to show who they are, they're going to show you who they are. But I would avoid women like that in general. I think quality men are going to avoid women that are loud and irritating and get violent and throwing your food and all that stuff, right? That's not necessary in a relationship. Avoid women like that. But generally speaking, I did not feel that it was the mother's place to tell him how to be the father to his child, right? You know, maybe what he was doing was wrong. Maybe there had to be a better way to get it done. Maybe she should have worked on some sort of compromise. Like, okay, look, if you're going to do it this way, then don't do blah, blah. Here's what's going on with the other kids. And that's just not going to work. It's going to hurt his feelings. These are his siblings. And I just don't want to create that. So you work it out. But I think that the mother kind of bogarting and kind of telling him what to do was wrong. And the father was absolutely, he made a very good point when he said, where are their daddies at? Where are their daddies at? And I just, you know, this whole idea of children just floating around, knowing that there was a sperm donor somewhere, and we know who these suspects are. We know who these criminals are that are having children and abandoning them or not even checking on them on any level. We know who they are. Some of y'all got the suspects in your own family. Some of y'all are harboring a baby daddy fugitive. Some of y'all are harboring a fugitive, like, and we need to call the marshal service to come get these motherfuckers, because it's like, look, you drop that seed. Just like in our house, when you leave a plate around and it's your plate, you're supposed to put that plate in the sink. And if you leave your plate and you don't put your plate away, somebody will find you and hunt you down and say, hey, you didn't clean up your mess. Who left the French fries in the kitchen? And you got to go clean up your mess. So in our community, what I don't understand is how we have these scenarios where there are people, again, remember, you're showing up to get the ass, you're showing up for the sex, but you're not showing up for any of the responsibility. And remember, we're all culpable in this because many of us are harboring these fugitives. Ladies, some of y'all are dating these fugitives. Some men, I'm sorry, some of y'all, some of the fugitives might be in this room. Some of y'all are letting the fugitives just go through life as if they didn't do anything wrong. And I think that needs to change. I think that there should be a little bit of a stigma for not at least checking on your kids. I'm not, you know, and here's the hard part though, right? We know that children and family is very complicated. We know that there are some mothers out here that have alienated the fathers from the child. They will tell, oh, your daddy ain't nothing. Your daddy don't come around. But what they don't tell you is that daddy can't come around because mama crazy. Mama has behaved like a buffoon and she pushed daddy away and made it very difficult for daddy to be involved. So we know that this is an ecosystem. This is not a place where you can place all the blame in one area, but I do think it is fascinating that we'll look at a guy like that rapper Future. That rapper Future, you know, 8 or 9 kids spread out all over the place, and y'all look up to him like he's a role model. What in the world makes a man who is out here just creating broken families left and right, why in the world would you say he's your role model? Oh, that's right, because that's the culture. That's the BET culture. Remember, BET, for the culture, for the culture. Oh, I forget. They want to create a culture where you look up to men who create broken families. Well, in my book, those are not real men. They know how to use their penises and stuff. Maybe they shoot a gun or something or whatever, but those are not real men. Those are not masculine men, because masculinity is protective. Masculinity means that what's yours, you take care of that. You know, when I was a kid, I had a father who wasn't there when I was born. I don't know what he was doing. He went to prison for drugs and stuff like that. But I was fortunate enough to cross the path of a truly masculine man. His name was Larry Watkins. He was my father who raised me. He was the one who raised me. And one of the things my father said, I listened to his language as he was explaining why he married my mother and why he took responsibility for me and adopted me at the age of 3. And he said that I just decided that these are mine, that this woman is mine, and that this child is my responsibility. Though these are mine. He used the words mine. Now, that sounds, you know, territorial. It sounds possessive for sure. Maybe you could accuse it of being almost sound like toxic masculinity, but I think that's very natural. I really think that natural masculinity leads you to say, okay, this is what I'm responsible for. Like football, when you play the free safety, you say, this is my territory. I got this. Or you're playing basketball and you're guarding the point guard. You say, this is mine. I got this. I got him. Right? Because you know that you're upholding your responsibility. And then if something goes wrong, then people turn and say, wait a minute, I thought, where's the safety? I thought you were going to make the tackle. What's going on? Right? Because that was your responsibility. So what I'm saying is, in general, as a community, I think that this code, that being on code, means that you got to decide, what are you responsible for? And if you are a man or a woman or really anybody, and you've decided, I'm responsible for nothing, I don't want to be accountable for anything, then I don't know what value, what purpose you can serve for anybody. I really don't. If you literally, especially when you created a life, you created a human life. You got a human life out here, and you haven't at any point taken any responsibility for that. That is not cool, man. That is not cool. Anyway, do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up. Share, subscribe. Also, BoyceWatkins.com. I want to remind everybody, tomorrow in the Black Business School, we've got Danielle Leslie coming in. She's going to show for free, this is all free, how to create a profitable online course in 30 days or less. So if you've ever thought about teaching an online class, or if you have a skill and you want to learn how to do it and how it's done, Danielle Leslie is an excellent expert, and she's going to do this tomorrow, July 2nd at 1 p.m. Eastern. So if you'd like to join, just go to BoyceWatkins.com, look for the Danielle Leslie link for Course from Scratch, and you can click on that and join us. All right. So here's the other thing too. So we see this father, he's showing up with the McDonald's, and the mother's saying, you should have bought McDonald's for everybody. Now, let's talk about the economic piece. I'm going to put on my economic hat for a minute. And what I'm seeing from an economic standpoint is this. So this is a conversation that's going to occur very differently for a poor family than it will for a family that has a little bit of income, a little bit of wealth, a little bit of savings. This is why economics makes a huge difference in terms of family outcomes. Family outcomes determine your economics. Your economics determine your family outcomes. And let me explain why. If I am showing up and buying McDonald's for one child, if I was, the kids like McDonald's, right? And somebody says, well, you know, there are 4 kids here. You should have got McDonald's for all of them. You know what I'm going to do? I'll be like, oh, you're right. Okay, let me go get 3 more cheeseburgers, 3 more orders of fries. I'm not thinking about that, because it's easy for me to whip out my credit card and buy another $25 worth of food. I don't care. It's not a life or death thing. It's not like, oh, Lord Jesus, you just broke me. I ain't got no more money left. No. This is one of the reasons, right? Pay attention now. There's this term that everybody loves to use, especially now because of Roe versus Wade. The term is Planned Parenthood. Anybody heard that term? They love to use that term, Planned Parenthood. Okay, so I use that term, Planned Parenthood, but I use it in a slightly different way. To me, Planned Parenthood is not just going to abort the baby when you want to get rid of it. Planned Parenthood means planning your shit. Planned Parenthood means having a plan. Planned Parenthood means that when you are taking responsibility for a family, there should be some sort of economic plan, especially for you men. I think, I'm sorry, maybe I sound sexist and old school when I say this, but I believe that there's a lot more of an expectation on men to have your money together. Really, I mean, a woman will look at a broke man and a rich man in very different ways. So I really think that for men, having an economic plan is really important, especially if you're going to have kids. The average cost of raising a child in America is $250,000. That means that if you have four kids, that's $1 million debt. You got $1 million student loan that you got to pay to the universe because you decided you want to go out and have some babies. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm not judging it. But at the end of the day, you have to have an economic plan. So if you are out here injecting your seed in every big booty within a 100-mile radius, but yet you have no economic plan to provide for those children, you are putting yourself in an unbelievable trap. You talk about, everybody likes to rap about the trap. We're about to do some trap music right now. And the trap music is that if you go out here laying down with women everywhere you go and you have no economic plan, you're going to end up in a trap. You might get the clap. And by the time this is all done, you're going to want to take a nap. Because at the end of the day, your ass is going to be so stressed out. You are going to be so humiliated. You are going to be so, people going to talk about you like a damn dog because you can't come up with the money in order to pay for what you created. Your penis has wrote a check that your ass can't cash. Your penis wrote a check. So I'm not telling people what to do. I understand men like sex. That's, no, I know that's a newsflash for some people, but men do like sex. But I will say this, you know, you better do some Planned Parenthood and you better include economics in your plan. Because if you don't, you are setting yourself up for a lifetime of misery, stress, and humiliation. You are also putting yourself in a trap where you will have a severe lack of options when it comes to doing what you want to do as a man for your children. An economic plan makes all the difference in the world. When you are trying to find a way to, you want to take your daughter to Disney World, you'll want to be able to go in the bank account and do that. You want to take your son and put him in football. Well, if you got the money, it's easy to do. Right? So that's one of the reasons why, as a man, as a human being, and also for women too, there's a whole other conversation for women as well. We can have that one in a second. But you got to make an economic plan for these kids, because when you don't want to be traumatizing your kids over a goddamn bag of McDonald's. I'm sorry, my mother said I shouldn't use the GD word. She's very religious. I'm sorry. I'm going to try not to do it. But seriously, a bag of McDonald's has literally caused you to embarrass yourself and traumatize your kids. If the money is there, then you just say, okay, you know what? Okay, no problem. Next time I come back, I'll bring three cheeseburgers instead of two. Three more cheeseburgers don't cost that much money. All right, so that's the other thing. And also, I would just say my discussion that I would have with ladies would be slightly different, because I think that society puts different economic expectations on women than they do on men. But for women, I see a lot of financial abuse that occurs as a result of not being prepared economically. I see also, when you're talking about scenarios where you're not thinking about the economic plan of the man that you're choosing to lay down with, that's causing a problem. Because you notice in that video, the man said, where are their other daddies at? Because if she had, even if she had three baby daddies, I'm not judging, that's her choice. If all three of her baby daddies have economic plans and are also the types of men who take responsibility for their seed, then guess what? The children, sure, it's an untraditional family, but the children are living in a world of abundance as opposed to a world of poverty. Instead of each child having one man that is solely responsible for their well-being, that's pouring thousands of dollars in their bank account to make sure they're good, she's got four kids all sharing $800 a month in food stamps or whatever she gets. You got four kids sharing food stamps when really each child is actually supposed to have their own benefactor. Each child is supposed to have their own kind of inheritance or an endowment, if you want to call it that. An endowment is basically a pile of resources or a person or some entity that is making sure that you are good. That's what makes the difference between rich people and poor people. Rich people have an endowment. So what is your child's endowment? When you have a child that you're raising and the father is non-existent, that child is going through life without any of the backing or any of the support that's going to help them survive in a very complicated, very difficult, very competitive, very abusive world. That if that ain't child abuse, I don't know what is. So protecting that valuable thing called your womb, protecting it from the losers and the hobo sexuals out here, the hobo sexuals, you know, the broke men that want to lay up with a woman so they can get some ass and have somebody else pay the bills. Like, protecting your womb from the hobo sexuals is one of the most important things I believe you can do as a woman to not put your child in an abusive situation. I'm not judging. We all make mistakes. Love is very powerful. In fact, if you ever really want to get smart about this game, go read some of the scientific research about how love and sex affects the human brain. If you go read the, again, I know that this ain't popular for everybody. Everybody wants to be stupid and just do dumb shit and act like it was they didn't know what was going on. But let me just tell you, the science is out there. I was 28 years old and I took the time. I did not understand love. Love was just the most complicated thing in the world. I didn't understand how it would change your behavior and jealousy. You know what I'm talking about? Where jealousy would just make you so mad and you just go out, again, out of character, right? And I was like, what is going on? I'm like a crackhead here. So I spent time at the age of 28 at one of the darkest moments of my life. I was 28 years old. I'd just been dumped by a girl and it broke my heart. And I was sitting there by myself just feeling all these feelings. And I said, okay, let me explore this and find out what's going on here. So I read books about love and relationships, and what I read was absolutely fascinating. Some of the things I found out is that this society that encourages women to run around having casual sex like men, they're setting you up for the trap. They're setting you up for the trap because men and women's brains don't operate the same. They don't respond the same to sex. They just don't. Men have women have an abundance of something called oxytocin, which bonds you to another person. It makes you completely irrational. It makes you trust the person you should not trust and make you do things you normally would not do. That's why you act a goddamn fool when you fall in love with a man you never even thought you'd fall in love with. Like, women would say things that I didn't understand. Like, they'd say, gosh, I just woke up and I realized I was in love with him. And I didn't even know what was happening. Right. And I that's never happened to me. I didn't understand that. Right. But the thing is that oxytocin, woo, that stuff is. Woo! That's powerful. It's very powerful. It bonds women to their men. It bonds mothers to children. That's why most mothers will die before they let you hurt their child. It's because of the oxytocin. If you take the oxytocin out, then none of that bond is there. They had two types of gerbils. One that had oxytocin receptors. The other one that did not. The one that had oxytocin receptors, they took the baby away. The mother grabbed on. The mother went crazy. Like, give me my baby. Give me my baby. The other one that didn't have the oxytocin receptors, they took the baby away. The mother was like, I don't care. Take it. I just have another one. It don't matter to me. So this was one of the things I remember finding out. And then I remember reading about men having testosterone. And what happens with testosterone, especially men with high testosterone, like athletes and, you know, guys that grunt a lot, like, you know, muscle men or whatever, is that the testosterone neutralizes some of the oxytocin. Again, I'm an armchair scientist here. Everything I'm saying is not scientifically precise on every level, but this is generally what I remember discovering. And so basically, when you see men that can just go have sex with no attachments or go cheat like it ain't nothing, a lot of that is driven by the testosterone. That's why young boys behave differently from more mature men, because when a man hits the age of 35, his testosterone levels drop by 1% per year. So he gets to where he's 45 and he ain't a complete knucklehead no more, which is one of the reasons why I would advocate for women taking the time and finding men that are a little more mature, that have gotten those things out of their system. That's my two cents. So what is my point here? My point is to say that when you talk about Planned Parenthood, you got to really think about what that means. We don't do Planned Parenthood, you know, in a lot of our families. We don't. We plan Saturday night where we're going to get some ass. That's about as far as the plan goes. And then the rest, we just kind of wing it. And then when you're winging it and you end up in these crazy situations, or your whole life has gone down the drain, or you find out that, you know, that person you thought you'd be in love with forever ain't exactly the person you thought you got, that you were trying to get with, then, you know, by that time, it's just kind of a shit show. It's a complete mess. So anyway, do me a favor. Hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. Just a reminder, on July 7th, I'm starting a new Black Wealth Bootcamp. I'm going to focus the next 4 weeks on showing you guys how to generate consistent income by selling stock options. A lot of people know how to buy stock options. I will show you how to sell them and what my model is and in terms of how I generate income for my family. You guys know my background's in finance. That's what I do. I was a finance professor at Syracuse University for a lot of years, but I also care about the Black community, which is why I love to talk about issues like this, because they're connected to your economics. And I want you to understand it in its entirety. So the Black Wealth Bootcamp starts July 7th. If you'd like to join, just go to boycewatkins.com, look for the covered call income generation program, and you're welcome to join us if you'd like. All right. So let me hop back in and let me play the video one more time. For those of you that just came in, we're talking about this mom who got livid at the child's father because he wouldn't buy McDonald's for all the kids. I'm gonna play the video again, and I want to make a couple more points about the video. So give me 1 second, guys. Let me share my screen and pull it up and hit the thumbs up button if you could, if you haven't done it yet. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. All right, so here we go. I'm sharing now. I'm playing.
Every f-ing day my baby daddy come here with one f-ing meal for my child, but I have three other kids. We have one kid together, but he only want to come and bring one thing to McDonald's. But what about my other kids? How come you can't feed my other kids McDonald's though? Like, that bogus as hell. Like, you're not gonna sit here and make my other kids feel left out, and you're only bringing one child something to eat. Look, there he go, and I bet you he only got one thing in there. I bet you he don't even. I'm finna expose him so people can see how he really is. It ain't more than enough food in that bag for everybody. What's up? Because I'm gonna expose you. What? Because that don't look enough for all my kids. That don't look enough for all my kids. What is that? That's just one burger? One burger, one fry?
What do you mean?
Okay, what about my other kids?
What about your other kids?
Okay, but them your kids' siblings though. Do your kids' siblings though. So my other kids gonna be left out.
You didn't
leave them? You know I'm gonna get my food stamps to the city.
This is my problem.
But if you're trying to help out though, you're not helping out.
I'm not trying to help. I'm trying to help my son.
But how are you helping yourself when you're only getting food for just him and not the other kids, his siblings? Them are his siblings though. He's not gonna eat in front of all his other siblings, and they're not eating at McDonald's. No. No. He's not gonna eat that at all if you can't bring enough for everybody.
Myself food, I gotta bring your kids food too now?
Yes.
You sound dumb.
How is that dumb? You That's sound like, dumb. I you have, sound dumb.
Where are their daddies at? Nobody told you to talk to them other. You got them other kids. Them your responsibility. They're not my responsibility.
Okay, but if you're gonna bring one, you need to bring it for all. How do that look that I'm letting one child eat McDonald's and all the rest of the kids can't eat no fucking McDonald's? So you know I get food stamps on the 11th.
Three kids that ain't mine.
Yeah, they're his siblings. You knew what you was getting into when you had a baby with me.
I did.
Yes, you did.
I didn't expect me to take your kids and not my kids.
Okay, but you still had a baby with me who have kids with other people. I still have other kids. Because I'm exposed. Everybody thinks you're such a motherfucking good daddy. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're full of shit in this bullshit. You only come here with one piece of food for one child.
The child that's mine, silly.
No, that's dumb that you can't feed the other kids. Don't feed nobody at all. Then he can't take that. He can't eat it.
Maybe if you had one or two, I'd be like, no, maybe. You got, it's four, it's three extra kids. What the? You want to go to my mother? Count. All those kids. That's something about my kids.
Them are your kids' siblings, though. Dumb.
So that's you going to go with? That's the one you're
going to go with? Those are your kids' siblings. I didn't say you have to take care of them. You can bring them something to eat if you bring one something to eat.
I bring them food every other day. What do you mean?
Exactly, but you don't ever bring food for the other one. You know I get my food.
Okay, so that was enough yelling. I don't know about y'all, but I got kind of tired of just hearing all that. So first of all, let me just say this. You know, I don't know if the skit's real or fake. If it is fake, then they're very good actors, and I'll try to find out who did the skit. And I like the fact that they did the skit because it makes a great point. You know, it's kind of like if you watch a movie and if it is all made up, if it reflects something in real life that you see on a regular basis, it's still something that allows you to learn from what was on screen, right? So I don't know if this is fake or real. If it was fake, then they did a great job of making it look real. And we know that there are lots of families that go through problems like this. So just to kind of summarize, first off, the mother was wrong by telling the father what he needs to do and what he needs to do with his money and how he needs to be a dad. Remember, when you pick a parent, they have 50% ownership in this company called Your Child, right? They are a 50-50 partner. So how they choose to use their 50% is not always under your control. So one strategic move you could make is, before you lay down with a person, maybe find out what their values are. You know, if their values are consistent with your values, then it's easier to negotiate these things. But if they live across town from you psychologically and their values are completely foreign to your own, then it's going to create a complete mess. Right. And I know that that's not popular. People don't talk about that. But that's what I would call Planned Parenthood. Anybody who cares about their future will do Planned Parenthood. That means thinking through anybody that you let in your bedroom on any level. The second thing I would say in this video that really stuck out to me is the question is, do you or do you not care about your children? If you don't care about your children, then you will do exactly what the people in this video did. I don't know if it's real or if it's a skit. If it's a skit and it's fake, don't keep telling me that it's fake in the chat. That's not new information. And maybe it is fake. I don't know. I don't care. But it's fake, but it's real. It's fake. But if it is fake, it's very, very real, because we know this happens a lot. So if you care about your kids, you won't go around and create these, you know, all these baby daddy, baby mama situations where your child is going to have their feelings hurt. They're going to feel abandoned. They're not going to get the support that they need. You're going to think through a lot of this stuff. Also, if you care about your kids, then you'll care about what they care about. So if your child has siblings that they love and they don't want to hurt their siblings' feelings, then you would be sensitive to that. You can't just run around and say, I did all this for my child, but screw those other kids. That says something about your character. That says something about your spirit that is not healthy at all. That's just not. It's very weird. And I've seen some of this. I've seen some guys say things like, if you get with a single mother with children, then you are a sucker because only a fool would take care of kids that are not his own. So I don't know who told you that lie. Whoever said that is not pro-Black, because there are millions of Black children that are in need of the guidance of a father. And I would only guess that maybe some of the men who might say something like that are either immature, or maybe they didn't have the love of a father growing up, so they somehow don't think any child is worthy of a father's love. But for most of us, there was some man that stepped in and took care of us. If you're lucky, it was your father. For me, it was another man who came along and married my mother and took care of me as a dad. For some guys, it might be a football coach who didn't have to spend time with you after practice, but he did because he cared about your well-being. Why? Well, because he's pro-Black. Anybody who walks past a child that's struggling in our community and does not give a damn about that child cannot be defined as pro-Black. Maybe you're pro-white. Maybe you need to go join the Klan. Or I don't know. Maybe you're just pro-selfish. I don't know. But that sort of talk is silly. It's immature. It's incredibly selfish. It doesn't make any sense. Right. So the third thing I would say is, when you talk about the economics of cheeseburgers, that's what I would call this. The economics of cheeseburgers is this. Look, if you're talking about the protective nature of masculinity, part of being a protective man comes down to providing various forms of security. Women, quality women, smart women are attracted to men. They typically tend to want to be attracted to men who can provide some type of security. That means that maybe they're attracted to men. This is why women on average, not all women, but on average, they tend to be more attracted to men who are taller, or men who are stronger, or men who are smarter, or men who are wealthier, or men who are more powerful. Well, why is that? Well, because if you have height and strength and wealth and intelligence and all these other things, then you can protect her. You can protect her. You can protect the kids. And what is interesting to me, and maybe this is just because different men are built different, but there is this powerful, almost feminine energy that comes up where there are men who say, I don't want to protect anybody. I don't want to be responsible for anything or anyone. I don't care about anything except getting the ass. And I'm not saying that they can't do that, right? They have a right to be as ridiculous as they want to be. But I would just look at the women and say, if you consider yourself to be an intelligent woman, why in the world would you ever share your womb with a man like that? Your womb is the home of your future children. That your future children are inside your womb right now, or theoretically spiritually, right? Your children, that is why would you let a man like that, think about this, a man who wants all the goodies, but wants no accountability after he takes all the goodies. Well, shit, that ain't a man. That's a goddamn predator. That's what they call those hobo sexuals. Those hobo sexuals who want to bum off your ass and take everything they can get and don't want to give nothing back. So my question is, if you love your future children, why would you let a hobo sexual around your kids? Why would you let a bum? Why would you let a loser? Why would you let a predator into the most sacred space that God gave you on this earth? There's nothing more sacred for a woman, in my view. There are very few things anyway more sacred that I can't think of anything more sacred than a woman's womb, because that's where black life comes from. We all came from the womb of a black woman. So ultimately, I get it, right? Maybe you grew up because maybe your daddy wasn't there, because you were beat up when you were a child psychologically, maybe because you didn't get the love and support and esteem that you deserve. Maybe you need some therapy to help lift that up and pull that out of you, so you can have that discernment that you need, because the predators and the hobosexuals are always going to show up, and they're always going to show up with the little tricks and the little games and everything else. And many of them will let you know through their actions and activities before the fact that they don't have any intention on taking responsibility for anything after the deed is done. So it is up to you to decide how you're going to guard against that. Okay. And then generally for men, the type of men I roll with, the type of men I talk to, I don't think they're in that category. Most of the men that come to this platform are quality men that align on some level with the values that we talk about on this channel. And because I was raised by a real man, I talked to my father today and we were talking about man stuff, you know, fixing things, you know, repairing the basement, buying new homes, all, you know, things like that, taking care of family. But that's what we talk about. We don't, you know, these are man, grown man conversations. So because I was raised by a man, that's what I identify with. But I think that there is an element, unfortunately, of men who never got that kind of guidance, who maybe they were raised with the feminine energy or something. I don't know. Maybe they were spoiled by their mothers. I have no idea. But they have a completely different outlook on what sex and love is actually supposed to look like. And some of them get on the internet and they will bash away at black women and talk about why they don't have no responsibility and talk about what they ain't going to do. And that's just kind of strange to me. So I'm not going to tell them they can't do it. I'm just going to say, you got to watch out for that, because they're everywhere. And the last piece I would say, the final point I'll summarize on, is when you talk about Planned Parenthood, means having a plan on all levels. It means that if you know one day you're ever going to have kids, that's why you must invest right now. One of the biggest problems we have in the black community is we got too many kids out here where nobody invested for that child before they were born or when they were little. Nobody made an economic plan to prepare for when that child was going to come into the world. Nobody made a plan to prepare that child for when they became an adult. So now you have millions of our kids who are now in their 20s and 30s who don't know what to do, who are completely lost in their relationships, whose health is falling apart, who maybe have drug addictions, who are caught up in stupid situations. Some of them actually got incarcerated because nobody made a plan. Your kids deserve better. So what I will say to you is that the difference between a successful person and an unsuccessful person is real basic. It's a plan. It ain't luck. It ain't white people. It ain't God. It's a plan. So my question is, when you talk about that term Planned Parenthood, I love to use that term, but I ain't talking about the abort. I'm not talking about if you abort the baby. That's up to you. I'm more pro-choice than anything. So whatever you want to do is up to you. I'm not judging your decision on that. But I am saying that if you talk about Planned Parenthood, that means planning and thinking about the fact that if you are a person that wants to have a good family life, then you'll be a person that will plan for your children long before they're even born. I'll summarize on this. I like my life. I like the family I have. I like the way I interact with the kids. I like our house. Our house, it's not massive, but it's big. It's 6,000 square feet. And when the kids need things, me and my wife don't have to argue over a bag of McDonald's. We don't. We'll argue. If we argue over something, it'll be something more relevant than like who's going to buy the extra cheeseburger. We can afford cheeseburgers. And here's the thing about that. I planned for this life long before it ever happened. You know, I planned for this life when I was 19 years old and I was going to the library when my dumbass friends were going to the club. I planned for this life when I was in graduate school studying 8 or 9 hours a day because I wanted to actually one day make a lot of money. not playing for this life when I got made fun of, but because I was in school for so long and I was working so hard and studying so hard when everybody else was out doing whatever the hell they were doing. So planning is literally the difference maker. So the question I want to ask you, and this is the question I want you to walk away with, and you know, we can put aside the baby mama, baby daddy drama. I've told you the statistics and all that, and you can make your own choice on that. But the biggest question I would ask you, Black people, is do you have a plan? So give me a yes in the chat if either you have a plan and you're executing on it, or you're going to go make a plan. Give me a yes in the chat so we can walk away knowing that we benefited from this discussion. I did not want it to just be gossipy. Again, I don't know if this video is real or fake. I'd like it because it's very, if it is fake, then they did a great job because it looks super real and they hit a super real issue. But just give me a yes in the chat if you're going to make a plan, because that's going to be the difference maker for you as Black people. That's what's going to make sure that your children are not stuck in the pit like some of their children. That's the difference. That my mama, do you understand when I tell you that I got to testify for 1 second here and tell you, do you know that when I go back to my childhood and I think about every cousin I hung out with, every best friend I had and that I would go see every weekend, do you know that every single one of them was an alcoholic or a drug addict, unemployed, some went to jail, some are dead. I can't think of any successful, I can't think of any friends I hung out with on a regular basis when I was a kid that turned out to be successful. And my mother, a little uneducated lady from the projects, and my father, a traumatized Vietnam vet without that much education, somehow, because they had a different plan, my outcome was very different. And it wasn't luck. It didn't just happen like that. My sister is a medical doctor. My brother went to Cornell University. He's a millionaire now. So it wasn't luck. You don't get lucky. You don't get that lucky three times. And I'm not bragging, but what I am saying is that when I go back and I analyze, like, what was going on? Why was our house so different from everybody else's? Well, it was two things. One, we were always taught to take responsibility for everything that happened in our lives. It ain't no excuses. You get too many damn excuses. Those white liberals give you excuses. Well, you know, if you're Black, you're supposed to be stupid. You can't have no wealth because you're Black. Because Black people, they just dumb. And then, BET is promoting the culture, again, a culture of stupidity and ignorance and self-destruction, right? And so the two things my parents did. One, they did not let us make excuses. And number two, they had a plan. My mother used to take me to this group called Black Achievers. Me and my wife just made a $20,000 donation to that group because I owe them everything. She used to take me to Black Achievers every Saturday, even though I didn't want to. None of my mother's friends did that with their kids. None of them. She also used to deliberately put me in spaces and put me in front of people that could have a positive impression on me. She used to also put us in summer programs, right? So I want to give encouragement and a shout out to all the parents that are making plans for their kids. If you're doing little things like investing for your kids so they can have some wealth, so they're not running around here struggling and broke, I applaud you. If you're putting your child in summer programs and after school programs, even though I know you're tired and I know that it's hard, I know it's hard to make the time, but I applaud you. It will make a difference. If you're talking to your kids about life and just preparing them, you know, giving them tips on how to have a strategy and to be prepared for all this competition and all this stress that's out here, I applaud you, because you are the canaries in the mine. You are the light at the end of the tunnel. Because when I look around in our community, I don't see a lot of things to be happy about sometimes. Sometimes I just see tragedy after tragedy, trauma after trauma. And some people have gotten to the point where they are so disillusioned that they believe that that's just a part of being Black. No, that does not come with being Black. That is up to you to decide what that's going to look like for you. So what is your plan? That's what I ask you. That's what I want you to think about. I'm done talking. Thank you guys for listening. Please hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, thumbs up, thumbs up, share, subscribe. If you'd like to join us for the Black Wealth Bootcamp that starts on July 7th, where we're going to talk about generating income by selling stock options, just visit boycewatkins.com. Also tomorrow, Danielle Leslie is a guest visitor in the Black Business School. She's going to do a free event on how to create a profitable online course in 30 days or less. All that's on BoyceWatkins.com. Oh, and one more good thing, too. For those of you that are coming to the All Black National Convention, which is going to be in Charlotte, October 28th through the 30th, we just got an agreement from Larry Miller, who is the chairman of the board at the Air Jordan brand. He took Michael Jordan's company from $300 million a year to $3 billion a year. Larry's a cool guy. He's a good brother. He's going to be speaking at the convention, dropping lots of game. RZA Islam is also coming. Y'all know RZA. He's great. So, and we have a ton of other great people that will be at the convention. So, again, if you go to BoyceWatkins.com, that's all there. I will check back in with you guys a little bit later. Thank you. Hit the thumbs up button, subscribe. And if you learned something today, I hope you'll share this video. So I love you guys. I'll see you soon. I'm going to go hang out with my wife. I'll talk to you later. Take care now. Peace.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money and the power, never be fake. Stick to code sign for three, what did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Boyce TV. Here we are.